Let's jump into the word. We got a few minutes, and you guys are going to need to listen fast. No, I want to ask a couple of questions, and I want to encourage you. And actually, I was telling Gary when he was out mowing the field, I said, "See those blackberries in the back there? And don't be afraid of nudging them a little bit, you know, and just kind of, and maybe even a little bit more." Looked back there, it's kind of hard to see from the parking lot, but he nudged them pretty darn good. And I want to nudge you this morning and encourage you to press in to the Lord in this certain area. But by way of introduction, I want to ask, you're familiar with Noah in the Old Testament? Noah in the burning bush?
No.
I mean... That was Moses in the ark, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm confusing you. Noah and the ark, beginning, it starts in Genesis chapter 6. And then we've got Mary in the beginning of the New Testament. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what if I were to hold those two up, Noah and Mary, and say, what do these two people, other than they are mentioned early in both Testaments, what would they have in common? Oh, I love it. And okay, well, ruined that introduction, but that's okay. The point is to get it, not the timing. So here's another question. In fact, you might as well show the next verse if you haven't already. No, that's it. That's it. They both found favor. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Some translations found grace, and that's okay. It's the same word. In fact, it's the same word, the same Hebrew word, and the same Greek word for both. Favor and grace. Same thing. Who said that? Who said, I heard it? 120 years? That's right. 120 years. That's faith, why he's mentioned in Hebrews. No power tools. So here's a question. Does God have favorites? Yeah, in fact, did I write this down? Yeah, in Romans 2, that's you quoted that out of, I think, the King James, or maybe it's the New American. The NIV says, that's good. It's amazing where we find the scripture, right? But it says it right out. God does not show favoritism. It was fun traveling with my folks. The part that I'm going to talk about anyhow was really fun. Wheelchairs. Wheelchairs get preferential treatment. They get to go to the front of the line. And especially when you're rushing to make connections, it's kind of cool. But that's not, God doesn't give preferential treatment, though we might look, you know, and make comparisons. It might appear at times, whether we're reading scripture or whether we're today, you know, it's easy to do that. But did I hear something? It does. So if God does not have favorites, and if he's not a respecter of persons, why does it appear that some are clearly, appear to be favored without being favorites? You know, like in their scripture, it just says, I just pulled a few of them out, but not only Noah, but Jacob. It talks about that he had God's favor. Joseph, Moses, we're going to look at Moses a little bit. Samuel, David, Daniel, I mentioned Mary, even Jesus grew in favor with both God and man. Isn't that interesting? I've got to just go right on by that, but that's an interesting statement, that Jesus grew in favor with God. Let me read out of Galatians chapter 1. This is really the text for this morning. And this is really the answer, I believe, as to why it appears that appears that God has favorites. But before we read it, let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, thank you for your favor in and upon our lives. Lord, would you cause your word to permeate our hearts this morning? Lord, a plant some more mustard seed faith in our hearts, and let it take root and bring the change that you desire, in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I now seeking, Paul asks, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? To me, I mean, that's I could say, let's pray, and that'd be the answer of the message, and encourage us to pursue the favor of God. And because what it does is asks a very pointed question that each of us need to answer, and that is, what is our pursuit? Are we seeking more for the favor of man or of God? And really what the scripture is saying, if you want the favor of God, just ask for it. And but not in a casual, like, yeah, sure, I'll take that, and I'll take this, and, you know, as though it's just some little trivial thing. But if the favor of God is really what you want, then pursue it. Seek after God's favor, and make that the pursuit of your life. I read an extremely convicting article this last week. I just thought, it's one of those articles I kind of wish I wouldn't have read. It was so convicting. And the title of it was one word, skimming. And I wrote down a few. Just it was written by a pastor who had realized after 20 years of pastoring that he'd begun, that recent years had just been kind of skimming. You know, just not off the, not in a collection, yeah, way. But that he, for example, he wrote down about a dozen or more examples, and I'll just read three of them. When you are too busy to reflect on your own heart or cultivate your own personal relationship with Christ. He's, you know, writing as a pastor. When you're not investing in your own personal growth and marriage, you know, it's all about, it can be just all about other relationships and other people's growth rather than your own. When you measure your successes based on what other people say rather than your own internal values before God. And it just went down the list of the idea of, are you, and really addressing the question, are you skimming, you know, whether it's in your relationship with God or relationship with the marriage or relationships in general, or are you, you know, really pressing in? Are you pursuing? And I think that that's clearly what Paul is challenging as he's writing to the Galatians. You know, what is your pursuit, and what is it that is really important to you? Do you really want the favor of God in your life? Let me just look at one example, and then we'll close this morning. I want to look at Moses. I just think that this is an incredible example of his heart. Let me just set the scene here. In fact, I'll read the verse, and then I'll set the scene for you. Out of Exodus 33, Moses says, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And God said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Now hear what, in fact, I do need to just kind of give you the setting here. I think it'll help. It's on the heels of the golden calf. Moses has spent all the time up on Mount Sinai. God gives him the Ten Commandments, comes back, and the people are worshiping this golden idol. Most of you would be familiar with the story. And God has just said at the beginning of chapter 33, he just said, you know, that's it. I have had it. These people are driving me crazy. In fact, he says it this way. He says, Moses, you go ahead and take the people to the promised land. I'll send an angel. I'll send an angel ahead of you to drive out the enemy so that you can actually conquer the promised land. But I'm not going to go with these stiff-necked people because I might destroy them on the way. That's what he says. And Moses is saying, I'm not willing to go into and have whatever is waiting for us unless you go with us. And so he says, you know, okay, Moses, my presence shall go with you. I'll give you rest. And hear what Moses says. He says, hey, if your presence does not go with us, with all of us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? You know, and that's a clear reason why Moses found favor in God's eyes, because what a godly prayer that says, yeah, you know, I'm kind of sick of these people too. They're getting on my nerves. Okay, you and me, God, let's go. That would be an easy choice. But Moses says, no. And of course, it's the exact response that God would want from Moses and certainly, you know, would want from us. But there's a scripture in the first part of Acts. In fact, it's right at the beginning of the persecution that breaks out. It's right on the heels of Stephen being stoned, and the great persecution breaks out. The chapter begins, and then Philip goes to Samaria, I believe, and begins to preach. And there's one little verse that just says, "And great joy filled the city." And I just thought, what would that look like? I mean, just in the, not just like Cartagena or a big city like Corvallis, but like even in Philomath, what would that look like if great joy filled Philomath? I think it'd be fun to kind of just meditate or dream on that a little bit. But it came to mind as I'm thinking about God's favor. If it's really our pursuit, God, I need your favor. I don't want to be a favorite. I want to so that, you know, choose me instead of Bob. Choose me instead of Kevin. You know, me, God, me. It's not that kind of a thing. It's, God, I'm desperate for your favor, for your blessing, for your touch, for your leading, for your ways to be evidenced in my life. And realizing that as a body of believers, that we would have that heart that says, God, we're not going anywhere unless your presence is amongst us. And just contending for that kind of presence and that spirit and for what God, we want what you want. We all have dreams, we all have things we would like and maybe even stuff that we're saving up for and goals. But if at the very top was, God, you know, I have a wish list, but Lord, what I really want, and is there anything we can do to deserve God's favor? You know, like, God, if I'm, you know, really good, and especially good to my wife, or you know, if I am more forgiving, if I'm more kind, if I'm more generous, how about then, Lord? And while those would be, you know, certainly good things, it's not on the basis of our goodness or the basis of what we do that earns God's blessing or God's favor. Because we're coming back and we're choosing repentance. We're choosing to acknowledge that we're sinners in need of God's grace. And so it's choosing to live in a way that is is following hard after God, even when we fall. Sinning does not disqualify us. What disqualifies us is pursuing what we, walking after the flesh, as opposed to in the Spirit. And walking, that's right. And David's the classic example. I mean, every one of these are the classic example, really, including Noah. Now, Mary, we don't get to see maybe quite as clear a picture, but every one of them had their downfalls. And look at David. I mean, choosing above his own wife to Bathsheba. And Moses himself, every one of them. And so that's an encouragement to all of us that that doesn't disqualify us. Choosing to stay, like Saul would be the example. Saul was more concerned about the accolade of man. And God said, sorry, bucko, I'm looking for someone that's after my own heart. And so David was one, even though he sinned greatly, when he was confronted, he repented, and that's got to be our response. God knows our heart. Yes. What breaks your heart? And that's why it's very cool to realize, okay, it's not based on our goodness, it's based on God's goodness, and His desire to pour out. I mean, He's just looking for people who want. You want, ask, and God gives. But there is that expectation that we would be like Moses. That we notice the word, what precedes the word favor almost in every time when it's mentioned regarding people. Noah and Mary and Moses found. So that implies they're looking, seeking, pursuing. Not skimming. And I want to be a pursuer. God, forgive me for skimming. Forgive me for skimming. And I want to encourage you to make that that prayer this morning to say, God, I want your favor. And not just because I'm asking you to do that, I'm encouraging you to make that your pursuit. And to say, God, Lord, I'm not going to go anywhere unless I have your presence. I'm not willing to take anything that's on my wish list unless I have your blessing and your presence. One of the things I just wanted to came to mind. I thought, if you were to ask me what I pray most for my kids, I would tell you, and Karen and I have prayed that since our children have been little, and the three things, and I mention this because it's the same thing that I pray for you, though not as often as I pray for my kids, I must confess, but if there are three things that I would pray, a lot of different things, but it in so many ways, this is the exact verbiage that I pray, is that, God, would you give my kids favor? And I'm not asking God to make them favorites or that they would always be the teacher's pet or something like that. Lord, I just, your favor be on their lives. And it was always patterned after Joseph. Joseph was the kind of the one that I was holding up. But would you give my kids favor? Would you give them strength of spirit? And would you give them fresh encounter with you? And I realized as I was working through this message this preparation for this morning that's what we need to pray for ourselves as well. Pray it for each other, but pray for ourselves that, Lord, we need your favor. Lord, we need a fresh encounter with you. And Lord, we need strength of spirit so that we don't falter in times of testing and temptation. And I think maybe my battery is getting low or something. So let me just read a couple of verses, and then we'll pray. Psalm 90, verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God. And Malachi, but now will you not entreat God's favor? A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. The favor is better than silver and gold. And would you make it your prayer? I'm going to lead us in prayer, but would you make it your prayer to, I'll use that same word, pursuit. Make it your prayer and your pursuit to ask for God's favor. Lord, this morning we stand before you acknowledging that we are your people and that you are our God. And Lord, while there would be many things that we would ask of you, especially with regard to establishing your kingdom here in Philomath and establishing your kingdom through the likes of us even around the world, God, we would pray that above all, we want your favor. Lord, we want your grace, your blessing on our lives, your presence. And God, we declare this morning that we will not move. We will not make other pursuits apart from your presence, apart from your leading, apart from your favor in our lives. God, we entreat you. Lord, we ask of you, and we declare, just as Moses declared, Lord, we want, we need, we're desperate for your blessing. And I pray that you would remind us, Lord, how necessary that we would live our lives, Lord, and that it could be said of us that we found your favor and your favor rested upon us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your incredible. Hey, just a couple of quick things as you're getting ready to head out. Remember, Friday is Good Friday, and we're having a communion service here at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, not only are we having Easter Sunday service here at regular time, but there is the sunrise service at the Methodist Church at 7 a.m. And that comes with the breakfast. And then right after our service, what's taking place after the service Sunday? Okay. And an egg hunt following that. So let me speak what Peter spoke to in his second letter. Let me speak this upon you. He says it this way, grace and peace, or favor and peace be not just upon you, be multiplied to you.